Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you so much for the cross. We don't know why you chose the cross. Can't explain why you chose the cross. We know that you chose us. We're thankful for it. We thank you for the pain, the blood loss, the mocking. We thank you for all that was endured for us, endured so that we might be able to call you Father. Father, for all the blessings that are included with your love, we are so overwhelmed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, if you want to read along with me, in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse number 9. Paul wrote, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray in order that you might may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Found this entertaining story online the other day. A farmer went to the city one weekend and attended the big city church. He came home and his wife asked him how it was. Well, the farmer said, it was good. They did something different, however. They sang praise choruses instead of hymns. "Praise choruses?" his wife asked. "What are those?" "Oh, they're okay. They're sort of like hymns, only different," said the farmer. "Well, what's the difference?" asked the wife. The farmer said, "Well, it's like if I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn. On the other hand, if I were to say to you, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the white cows, the cows, cows, cows are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, the corn, corn, corn. Then if I were to repeat the whole thing two or three times, well, that would be a praise chorus." The next weekend, his nephew, a young new Christian from the city, came to visit and attended the local church of the small town. He went home and his mother asked him how it was. "Well," said the young man, "it was good. They did things different, however. They sang hymns instead of regular songs." "Hymns?" asked the mother. "What are those?" "Oh, they're okay. They're sort of like regular songs, praise choruses, only different," said the young man. "Well, what's the difference?" said his mother. The young man said, "Well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows in the corn, well, that would be a regular song. If on the other hand, I have to say to you, O Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Inclinest thy ear to the words of my mouth, turn thou thy whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, inimitable, glorious truth. For the way of the animals who can explain, there in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearken they in God's sun or his rain, unless for mild tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those cows in glad bovine rebellious delight have broke free their shackles, their warm pens eschewed, then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all my mild chilliwack sweet corn have chewed. So look to the bright shining day by and by, where all four corruptions of earth are reborn. Wow. Where no vicious animals make my soul cry, and I no longer see those foul cows in the corn. Then if I were to do only verses 1, 3, and 4 and do a key change on the last verse, well, that would be a hymn. That's hilarious. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Music in the church has always gone through an evolving experience. From the earliest of Christian gatherings, the practice of singing and worship has taken on several different forms. It is a consensus of many theologians and church historians that the early Christian communities' song sounded much like chanting and monotonic or just one tone. I mean, no harmony. Music and worship has always been a hotbed topic because emotions are so strong regarding singing in church. Every generation has its collection of songwriters that pose a threat to the traditions of the church. They're often called radicals or rebels. They write songs in styles that sometimes resemble secular music. And many in the church are offended when these songs are introduced into the life of the church and into the worship of the church. Now, one such radical or rebel was a guy named Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was a member of the Church of England. However, he and his family were considered nonconformists because they held views that went against the teachings of the Church of England. His father actually spent 2 or 3 years in prison because he would not conform to the teachings of the Church of England. Isaac Watts, as a young man, often complained about the songs that they sung in their worship services. Most all of the hymns sung in worship derived from particularly the Psalms, but also other scriptural variations and poems through the Bible. The church held the view that all hymns must come directly from scripture with no or very little variance. Isaac Watts called a lot of music during that time, and I quote, boring and irrelevant. He called for there to be an inclusion in the hymn books, more songs that were poetic retellings of the thoughts and principles of scripture. Out of his passion and dissatisfaction, he spent hours and hours composing new hymns for worship. Among them was When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The song communicates the marriage of paradoxical ideas or opposites that or words that or themes that come from you from opposite end of the spectrum. On the one hand, sacrifice and pain. On the other hand, beauty and wonder. On the one hand, it tells the story of pain and suffering while it's joined together with joy and love. Who would have thought that such polar opposite concepts could be so beautifully intertwined to communicate such a powerful hymn? And who would have known that several years later, when this song was introduced as one of those radical songs, that it would become such a beloved hymn in our own experience? Throughout our Christian experience, we will be, we have been inundated with songs that focus on the cross. I mean, just think for a moment. We've sung some today, like The Old Rugged Cross and Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, that we're going to sing later, In Christ Alone. Some we have sung in the past, like Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, or Christ, we do all adore thee, and many others. The subject of these songs, the cross. Early in the expression of faith for Christians, the cross had become the central symbol. It should be noted that for a while, using the cross was actually condemned by some church fathers as it was labeled paganism. The cross was not common in religious art until the 4th century, when everyone who had ever seen a live crucifixion had died. For some in the early 1st century, the cross began as a symbol of death, but it became a symbol of life and forgiveness and relief. Now, whether this over here is the actual look and feel of an ancient cross is neither here nor there. As we worship this morning through song and reflection, I'm not concerned about the dimensions of the cross. I'm not concerned with the historicity of the crucifixion. I'm not concerned where they put the nails, whether it was in his wrist or in his hands, or how much blood Jesus lost. And I want to thank Dean, who built this cross after contacted him like a couple days ago, and he said, oh, I don't know, and he built it for us. I want to thank you for putting the work and time into this. And I'm glad he built it, because I want us to have a centering point this morning, a cross. This morning, let's think about the cross for a few moments, just a few moments. Let's reflect for a moment that because of Jesus' activity on the cross, we sing songs of redemption. Because of what Christ did on the cross, we have worth. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we had our debts wiped away, wiped clean. Just imagine the relief if all of our financial debt was wiped clean. No mortgage, no car note, no credit card, no school loans, the fresh air that would be enjoyed by being free from debt, the grand sigh of relief, a great big whew. This is why we sing that song that says, he paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul, set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. At Calvary on a cross, something incredible took place. At the cross, thing is still taking place. At the cross, my God is inviting us for a meeting. And at this meeting, we invited to bring stuff. We're invited to bring a lot of stuff. We're invited to bring sins, burdens, horrors, memories, guilt, confessions, and worries. At the cross, we are invited to bring our ashes of shame and trade it for the beauty of mercy. Through the cross of Jesus, we are invited to know and experience peace. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 2, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. This inner battle we engage in, day out, Jesus is offering us peace. Peace at the cross. And it would be a shame if we didn't collectively share in an experience from time to time of offering an encounter with the cross. This morning, let's have an encounter with the cross. Someone said, cross born in simplicity, without the interference of self-love to augment it, is only half a cross. Suffering in the simplicity of love, we are not only happy in spite of the cross, because of it. For love is pleased in suffering for the well, beloved, and the cross, which forms us into his image, is a consoling bond of love. This morning, I want us to have an experience with the cross. From the song we sing, alas, and did my Savior bleed? At the cross where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I want us to have an encounter with the cross this morning. From the song, Be Still My Soul. Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide every change, he faithful will remain. I want us this morning to have an encounter with the cross. Let's have an encounter with the cross this morning, if not just for an opportunity to express to God our love and devotion and gratitude for the ultimate sacrifice. Like the words from the song, O Sacred Head, our sister Lisa Vaughn over here pointed out the powerful lyrics from the second verse. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. He said, it's not just a song I sing the words to. It's a song I sing and I feel. Let's have an encounter with the cross of Christ. More importantly, let's meet Christ this morning at the cross. Let's encounter the Savior who can move mountains, a Savior who will meet you where you are and take you where you need to go. May the songs we sing about the cross tell the story of how death meets life and the story of where joy and sorrow meet. The cross of Christ present a location to take our gifts to the Master and to lay our burdens down. May we all encounter Christ in a bold and powerful way this day and forevermore. Let's encounter the cross. Several years ago, I was watching a video of the event that was put on for young adults called a Passion Conference. It's put on by several different people, but it brought college students from all over the country. And they do this, I think, every 2 years or so, and they put out an album. If you're in the Christian bookstore, you'll see Passion Worship Album. They put out a worship album every year from it. This one year, remember, Matt Redman, who wrote the song The Heart of Worship and several others, dear name, he was singing the song that we sung earlier, which blended When I Survey the Wondrous Cross with The Wonderful Cross, written by Chris Tomlin. I remember Matt Redman getting up on stage, and he began singing this song, and they were outdoors, and there were probably 5,000, 6,000 college students. And I remember them, about three or four guys and girls, brought down to the front of the stage this humongous cross. I mean, it was humongous, Dean. It was four times the size of that. They brought it down, and they just held it up at the front while they were singing that song. And without being prompted, college student after college student just ran down and bowed down at this cross. I wish I would have brought the video to show you this video. And literally, by the conclusion of that song, everyone that was there surrounded that cross. It was just something about the moment where these kids didn't just want to sing about the song. They didn't just want to talk about the song. They didn't just want to read a couple of passages about the song. They wanted to have an encounter with Christ at the cross. This morning, I want us to have an encounter at the cross. And I want to invite you, if you have your little 3x5 card, feel free to write whatever you want to write on that card. Feel free to put anything on that card that you feel like you need to bring to Jesus. It may be a prayer. It may be a burden. It may be a worry. It may be a person. I want to leave it anonymous, though, because from time to time, we're going to put this cross back up and we're going to lay that stuff down there so that we can share that as a community. You may find yourself coming to this cross with nothing to give. Maybe somebody wrote something, writing the right words, right phrase. It's exactly what you need to bring. Also, I'm going to sprinkle some little crosses and some bookmarks. And as you encounter this cross, we're going to sing some songs. As you encounter the cross, you put your thing on your paper, you put it up there, just lay it down at the cross and just take a cross back with you. Keep this cross with you as a reminder that don't have to wait till Sunday morning to take something to the cross of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to have an encounter with the cross. Take some time right now to silence yourself. Write a little bit. And once we start singing, feel free to bring whatever you need to the cross. Feel free if you need to stay at the cross. Stay there. You're not going to bother anybody. Church, I want to invite you to have an encounter with the cross.